He kind of settled on a purpose for his life more than just being a tax collector. And he really focused on Jesus. And I kind of think that's kind of what goes on. And I based it on this little verse right here I memorized a long time as a young Christian. And it says this, "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will send you out to be fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. And I looked at this from two sides. If Jesus lived with me, we'd be following him. And the second part says we'd be fishers of men. I learned the King James Version. You know, it says fishers of men. And that's kind of what I thought. Here's what I want you to think about this morning. If lived in your house, not what it would be like for you, but what would it be like for your neighbors? What would it be like for your friends? What would it be like for your coworkers or your fellow students? What would it be like? What would it be like for your family if Jesus lived in your house? What would be transpiring? You know, would Jesus be the kind of person who drives, pushes a button, goes into the garage, pushes a button, and shuts the door? You know, would he be the neighbor who just, you know, "Hey, how you doing today? How's the kids? You know, what's going on? You know, how did work go today?" Would he be the neighbor that knocked on the door and says, "Hey, man, you got a cup of sugar I need for my sweet tea?" Yeah. Or would he be the guy who would be, you know, "Hey, told you today that Jesus loves you"? What would it be like if Jesus lived in our house for those that are around us? I think it'd be an adventure. I don't know about you, but I think it'd be an adventure to journey through life with Jesus and to experience Jesus living in our home and what it would be like. And so as I looked at God's word, you can see the occasions of the homes he visited. I mean, he was in Peter's home, was with Martha and Mary and Lazarus's home. He was in some unknown leaders of a community's home. Jesus spent time in these homes, you know, and what would it be like? What would it mean for those that are around you? Last week I looked at Zacchaeus. I want to look at a guy named Matthew this morning. Matthew, Jesus is still, let me kind of paint a picture here. We began this, it's that little verse there that's sitting there on the screen that you're kind of looking at. That's when Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee. And as he walks by the Sea of Galilee, he encounters a couple of fishermen named Peter and Andrew. And he talks to them for a few moments, and he says, "Come follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men." They drop their nets, and they follow him. He journeys a little further down that the sea around. He runs into two brothers named James and John. And again, he extends the same invitation. And so he's dwelling in this area of the Sea of Galilee, and he's living in this town of Capernaum, and he's preaching, and he's teaching, and he's performing miracles, and he met Zacchaeus, that little man who climbed the tree we looked at last week. And then there's another occasion as he's walking through town, as he's journeying through town, he encounters a man named Matthew. Here's the scripture. When Jesus was leaving, he saw a man named Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth. Jesus said to him, "Follow me." And he stood up and followed Jesus. I want to kind of tell you that this morning, that you came here, and my prayer is that you're going to encounter Jesus, and Jesus is saying, "Hey, follow me." And that you're encountering Jesus this morning. And here's Matthew has this story with Jesus. Now, I want to make sure you know, I don't think this is the first time. Jesus had been preaching in Capernaum. He had been teaching in Capernaum. Matthew had been there. He had seen some of the miracles. He might have heard the rumors of Jesus. So this is not probably the first encounter he had with Jesus. But when Jesus said, "Follow me," he said, "Yes." He jumped up and began to follow him. And what I think is interesting is, guess where he followed Jesus? He followed Jesus to his house. You know? "Okay, Jesus, I'm going to follow you. Where are we going?" "To your home." "Honey, get the house clean. We're on our way." You know? "What do we have for dinner today? I mean, can you get something for Jesus?" You know, we got extra. You know, but he followed, you know, hey, where we're going? We're going to your house. That's what Jesus wanted to tell you today. He's going to your house. That's where he wants to go. He's going to your house. So it's to his house. He goes to his house. He's having dinner with him. Look at what it says here again as we read on. As Jesus was having dinner with Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with Jesus. What happened? People show up. I'm going to tell you, when Jesus shows up, guess what else? Other people show up. You know, what's going on? What's happening? What's transpiring? And I want to make sure you notice what will show up. Sinners, I'm going to be honest, people like you and me. Last week I told you let me give you the culturally approved word for sinners, mistakers. You know, we don't like calling people, you're a sinner. No, I'm just a mistaker. I seen this morning, somebody had posted something on Facebook, some guy had tried to steal his car. He pulls into the parking lot of a Family Dollar store, you know, it's back in Atlanta somewhere, and as he's getting ready to get out of a car, some guy comes up and tries to steal his car. They picked the wrong guy. The guy happened to have a concealed weapon permit. And so they have this guy for 3 minutes standing over the guy, pointing his gun, don't move, the cops are on their way, you know, and the guy's laying on the ground, and the guy's going, I made a mistake. You know, I thought you were my friend. Did he really? I made, we're mistakers, you know, but the truth is, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we're all sinners. We all mess up. We all have things going on in our life. We all have issues battling in our life. And so he has these sinners, and they came and ate with him and his followers. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked Jesus' followers, why does your eat with tax collectors and sinners? Same thing they asked. Remember when he went to Zacchaeus? Those who were here last week, this is the same question. You know, why is Jesus hanging around with the wrong kind of people? Isn't that kind of what the question is? I'm going to ask you, who does Jesus want to hang around with? He tells us, look what he says. When Jesus heard them, he said, it's not the healthy people who need a doctor, but the sick. That's who Jesus wants to hang around with. The sick people. A lot of us are sick today, hacking and coughing. Isn't it good he wants to hang around with us? You know? But I want you to see this picture. Matthew's house. Jesus is in the house. Look at the adventure. All these people start coming over. They're having a big old party in his house. Hey, where's the party house? Party's house at Matthew's today. Hey, let's go. Who's there? Jesus. All right. Wouldn't that be nice? Party's at my house today. Who's over? Jesus. All right. I'm there. You know? But what was it? I want us to think about that impact. What does it mean? What kind of adventure would that be? You know, this week I went to the hospital to pray with one of our church members having a procedure done. And so I go and I like to pray with them and encourage them because, you know, I don't know about you, but anytime you go to it's kind of messed up. Just so you know, I'm blaming the hospital for my cold. I don't know if that's where I got it. I'm going to blame the one I went there for, though. It's their fault. Yeah. So I won't blame, you know, if you want to know, it's Heretta's fault, okay? You know, I'll just lay it all out, you know. But I pray with her dad, you know, he's having this procedure done. And so I pray for him and then I had to go. I had another meeting to go. So we walk out, and she walks out, and we're going to walk out. I'm going to take off. And so out in front of the hospital, and we pray. And we get done praying, and I kind of turn around, and there's a lady standing there bawling, just tears pulling down her face. And we had just, you know, listen, I don't mind praying in front of everybody, all right? We're out in the middle of the doctor's hospital, you know, front, right out in the middle of the doctor's hospital. And the girl goes, can you pray for my boyfriend? He's in there. Can you pray for my boyfriend? I told her, no, I don't know him. Yeah. No, what did I do? I told her yes, and I took her by the hand, and I prayed for her, and I prayed for him. See, when you encounter Jesus, there's an adventure. You know, there's some unexpected things can happen. I kind of get this picture. Matthew gets up this morning, you know, showers, combs his hair, brushes his teeth. I don't think he's shaved. I don't know. You know, I just see Matthew with a beard. You know, Duck Dynasty guy, you know. You know. Gets ready to go to work, goes off to work, sits at the table. Now, who's got to come by and pay their bills today? Let's see. And all of a sudden, Jesus is there. Turns his day upside down. You know, everything's changed. Now it's an adventure. Where are we going, Jesus? To your house. Oh, okay. I guess. You know. You go to the house and all of a sudden, everybody, hey, guess what? Jesus said, why? You said, let's go check it out. And they all start coming over, and they all start filling his house. It's fun, you can read the scripture, not just Matthew's house. There's tons of houses. There's one occasion, the house was so full, people couldn't get in. I love that story there. I mean, how many, you know, it's a beautiful story. A couple of guys have a friend who's paralyzed. Jesus does miracles, right? Anybody familiar? He does miracles. And he's been doing a lot of them. And so there's this paralyzed guy and his friends. He has these couple of friends, and they come carrying him, and they can't get to the house because the house is so full, and people right around the windows, they can't get in. So they go on the roof, and anybody familiar with the story? What do? They start tearing the roof up. I don't know about you. Please don't tear my roof off, okay? You know? It's supposed to be a 50-year roof with those tiles. Come on. You know? But they tear the roof off and drop in the middle. And Jesus says, you're healed because of whose faith? See, they, you know, he's talking about the faith that guy, that his friends have. See, I want to challenge us. What would it be like for our neighbors? How about this? What should it be like for our neighbors? See, when we open our heart to Jesus, we open our homes to him. Do we have an impact? We have an opportunity with our family. And so I just got four things I want to share. I'm going to try to be quick. I've had people tell me they want a quick service today. They fed me some donuts trying to help out. And so we're going to try to go through this real quickly. But I want, here's four things that I think we can do, that Jesus did, that can have an impact in our home with those on the left and the right and the one over there and that one over there. I think we can make a difference. At work. At school. And so I wrote it this way. Here's this first point in this unexpected adventure. Jesus would talk to God about his neighbors before talking to his neighbors about God. Now, if I ask you what is the biblical word for that, talking to God, what would you guys say? Prayer. All right. You guys are good. You got a bunch of theologians here. You're going to need it, all right? You're going to pray. We're going to pray. Jesus was one who prayed. You can read the scriptures over and over. Jesus goes onto the mountainside to pray. He goes into a solitude place to pray. He took a break from his disciples to pray. Jesus was one who prayed. He spent time praying. Even on the cross, think about this. Some of the last words of Jesus was a prayer. Look what it said. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. Some of his last words was a prayer to reach out. Not about him. God, this is hurting. Get it over quick. Anybody want to pray prayers like that? God, get me out of this. No, his prayer was for them. I want us to think about that for a moment. All right? Now, I have prayer lists. Okay? And we used to have prayer lists in our church, and we used to pass prayer lists around. And on that prayer list would be lots of sick. Now, should we pray for the sick? Let me ask you that. The Bible tells us to, okay? The Bible says, pray for those who are sick. It literally says that, all right? We need to pray for those who are suffering physically. You know, having surgery, a cold, cancer, all sorts of issues. We need to pray. We should be praying. They should be on our list, right? emotional battles. We should be praying for those who are struggling emotionally. I'm going to do another series. I've been wrestling with this, and I did one last year, and I'm going to do another one on mental health coming up starting here, I think. Because it's a battle. I don't know about you. This world is crazy right now. It's off the hook. And a lot of it is up here. And I think we need to talk about that. Because, you know, I believe God heals physically. I believe God heals mentally. Anybody on board with that one? Can you say amen to that? Because I'm going to tell you, sometimes my mind gets whacked. Anybody get wacky mind? You know? And we need to see that. And we need to pray for those. We should be praying. You know, we should be praying for those who are battling addictions, drugs, alcohol. We should be praying for them. We should be praying for those who are struggling financially, relationship-wise. We should be praying for them. But one thing that seems to slip off our prayer list, I don't know about you, but kind of gets lost in the list, is those who need him personally. What do you think? Those, maybe in our family, who haven't crossed that invisible line yet. You hear me talk about this in church. You know, there's this invisible line. You know, you can go to church all you want, but until you accept Jesus Christ, he's not real to you, all right? You can sit in church, and you can be as good as you think you can be. You know, I'm truly trying to be good. And you can do all that, but until you cross that invisible line, that line that says, God, I'm tired of doing things my way. I want to do them your way. Come to my life and take control. Until you cross that line, you literally are not a child of God. And we have friends, and I have friends. I have family. I have neighbors who don't know Jesus, who need that relationship. How often do those slip off our prayers? You guys are quiet now. Do you know what I'm saying? How often do we let those names slip away? I like what Jesus says here as they were recounting some of Jesus' life. News about Jesus kept spreading. Large crowds came to listen to him teach and to be healed of their diseases. But Jesus would often go to some place where he could moan and pray. I wonder what he's praying about. Praying about the sick, yeah. But I think he had a heart that it's not just the physical that needs healing, but the spiritual that needs healing. Anybody on board with that one? There's a spiritual healing that needs to go on. And I want to challenge us. I want you to think about that. Who on your list are you praying to know Jesus Christ? You got your sick, that's good. You got the struggles, that's good. You got the battles, that's good. But what about those who don't know Jesus? How many of us have put somebody on the list and we pray 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 a year, maybe 2 years, and then we kind of start slipping away. And pretty soon they haven't been. It's been 2 years, and so you kind of stop praying for them. Anybody ever do that? Don't sit there like you're all innocent. You know? I think about, you know, there's a picture when I was writing the message. There was an individual here in Salida. We had this called Lighthouse Ministries, Lighthouse Prayer. Anybody remember Lighthouse Prayer? Your house become a lighthouse for prayer. You hang a thing in your window, and we had friends coming over. We're praying in the homes. Some of them were praying for a neighbor of theirs. And I'm going to tell you, it was a losing battle. Let's just put it that way. If you asked me and you asked them, there was no way this person was going to ever accept Jesus. It just wasn't going to happen. 8 years later, guess what? They accepted Jesus. 8 years. You ever prayed 8 years for somebody? See, I want to challenge us that consistent, fervent, persistent prayers make a difference. What do you think? Consistent, fervent, persistent prayers make a difference. Look at what it says. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Now, real quick, I'm going to run out of time here. Righteous person. Are you a righteous person? If you're a righteous person, raise your hand. All right, let me ask you this. How many here, I can't do it that. That's kind of embarrassing. But let me tell you, here's what righteousness is. Real simple. Righteousness is a right relationship with God. That's how you define righteousness. Now, how many are righteous? See, my prayers don't matter because, I'm not that good. Well, I'll be honest. I'm not that good. I'm really good. No, you guys know me. You know? Nobody's good. Isn't that what Jesus said to somebody? I'm going to tell you, if you cross that invisible line, you're in a right relationship with God. You are a righteous person. Now, are you perfect? No. No one's perfect. No, not one. Isn't that what the scripture says? But we're righteous, not because I am declared right by God. Do you get the picture? When you cross that invisible line, God says, you're righteous. I went to court one time. Just so you know, it was modified exhaust on a car. Anybody ever do that when you're a kid? All right. I'm serious. You could hear my car crossing the train tracks right now. All right. I went to court, and they give you all these ways you could plead. You know, no contest and guilty and not guilty. And they went, I'm serious. There's seven. I think there's only two. Either you did it or you didn't, okay? But they had all these different ways you can plead. I pleaded guilty with an explanation. All right? I was guilty, man. I did. I mean, my pipes were, just so you know, they were straight pipes on the car. There was no muffler, all right? It was straight pipes. When I got a ticket, that was my third ticket for modified exhaust. You know, you take steel wool, you stuff that steel wool in with a broomstick, you know, and put a chrome extender on it and go down there, you start the car up, it sounds really quiet. About 3 weeks later, that steel wool is burned up and you're back to normal. You know? And so I pled guilty with an explanation. That's what righteousness is. I am guilty. I am a mistaker. No sinner. But my explanation is Jesus Christ is my Savior. And therefore, I am righteous. I'm going to tell you, your prayers matter. That verse is for you. Do you get me a picture? I want to make sure I painted that for you. Your prayers matter. You have power in your prayers. Do you feel that? I bet some of you are sitting there saying, my prayers just don't even get out of the ceiling. It's like that balloon stuck right there. Anybody feel like your prayers stuck with that balloon? I was going to shoot it down, but I might miss and put a hole in the roof. See, I'm going to tell you, your prayers are powerful. When you know Jesus, it doesn't matter how good you are or how bad you've been. Do you know Jesus? Your prayers are powerful. All right? The prayers of a righteous. See, I want to get a name, challenge for you. You see the little, it says 111 right there. See that? Anybody got your little outline out? You see the 111? Here's the 111. One. Give me one name. Give me one name of somebody that you want to see cross that invisible line. Just one. I'm not asking for a whole list. Who is one person you want to see take a step over that line? All right? The second one, I want you to do this. 1 o'clock tomorrow. 1 o'clock today. We'll be done by one. I promise you. Maybe. 1 o'clock today, take 1 minute and pray for that person for 1 week. All right? That's all I'm asking. Put one name down for 1 o'clock, for 1 minute, for 1 week. I should have put 1 week in there, shouldn't have I? Because here's my hope. Now, I'm going to be tricky. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm tricky. All right? Because here's the deal. It takes 7 days to form a habit. So guess what I want? I want, not just for 1 week, I'm hoping in 1 week it becomes a habit for you. That's all I'm at. Just give me a week. Just give me a week. See what the power of your prayer can do with 1 week. All right? One name. Who do you want to put down there? You're looking at me right now. Look at your paper. Write a name. All right? Put a name down. Who do you want to see cross that line? Who needs Jesus Christ? Who you've been praying for that's maybe slipped off your list and it's kind of like, it's just not working right now. Put a name down. 1 o'clock today, 1 minute. 1 o'clock tomorrow. The sun will be back up, okay? It's going to disappear for a little while. I got a prophecy. From 9:03 tomorrow till 11:26, the sun is going to disappear. I just got this feeling. That, see, it'll be back by 1, okay? I promise you. It'll be back by 1. Will you take 1 minute at 1 o'clock today and tomorrow and Tuesday and Wednesday, just 1 week, and start praying? And I'm going to be honest. My hope is that you make it a habit. See, I think Jesus would be talking to God before he talked to them. All right? The second point, Jesus would assure his neighbors that his door would always be open for questions. Now, this one kind of... Yeah, this one's kind of scary, because that's one of the excuses we don't tell people about Jesus, because they're going to ask me something I don't know. But Jesus knowed everything, right? Knowed everything. Oh, come on. Jesus knew everything. Yeah. Jesus knows. I don't know everything. But Jesus' door would always be open. Somebody come over. Come on in. Have some sweet tea. Sit around the table and let's have a conversation. Let's have a conversation. Let's have this dialogue, you know, open to have questions. I'm going to tell you, you don't have to know everything, but Jesus encountered this all the time. I got a little scripture here of a guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus, a religious leader, he wouldn't go during the day to see Jesus because all his friends would probably, exclude him from then on. He can't go during the day, so at night he goes to see Jesus. You know, he's got a question. Good Jewish man, good Jewish leader, you know, pillar in the community. Just at the end, just kind of give you a picture of where he ends up. He ends up being one of the guys that gets Jesus' body when he dies on the cross. Look at what it says. And now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were." He's saying, "I know you're God. It's obvious. You're God. I've seen what you've done. You're God." Jesus replied, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born." See, he's coming in saying, "I'm a Jew. My dad was a Jew. My mom was a Jew. My granddad was a Jew. My great-granddad was a Jew. I am a child of God." And Jesus is saying, "Wait a minute, Nicodemus. It's not a matter of where you were born physically, but were you born from above? Were you born again?" See, he had a question. It's like, I have this Jewish heritage. And Jesus is saying, "Yeah, that's good. You're talking about religion. And I'm talking about a relationship." See, God's not after a religion. He's after a personal relationship. And Nicodemus had that question. There's also doubts. Anybody ever have doubts? We're familiar with a guy in the Bible named Doubting Thomas. Have you ever read about Doubting John? Anybody? Anybody know Doubting John? Man, there's a doubting guy named John in the Bible. He shouldn't have been doubting because he baptized Jesus. All right? He's at the Jordan River, and Jesus comes down there to get baptized, and he baptizes Jesus, and a dove descends as the Holy Spirit comes down, and a voice from heaven goes, "This is my beloved Son." He's there. He sees all this happen. Anybody know his name as John the Baptist? Well, he's John the Doubter. All right? Because, see, John gets arrested. He gets thrown in jail. And it doesn't look good. He's pretty much a dead man walking, okay? His life is pretty much over. And he starts thinking, you know, what's going on? I've been serving God. I did all these things for God, and it's not working out well. Anybody feel like that sometimes? Your life's just not working out well, not what you expected? And so he starts having all these questions. He starts doubting. And he starts wondering what's going on. And so he says, small group. Anybody have a small group? Get in a small group, okay? He sends for a small group. They're called his disciples. And here's what it says. The disciples of John the Baptist told John about everything Jesus was doing. See, what happened is he's going, listen, I don't know. So he calls his little small group together and says, listen, go ask Jesus if he truly is the right one. If he's the one we've been waiting for all these years. Go ask Jesus if he is the Messiah. And so his disciples, they come back, and here's what they say. So John called his two disciples and sent them to find the Lord and asked, are you the Messiah we've been expecting, or should we keep looking for someone else? See, he's doubting, he's questioning. See, I want to ask you, you know, is it okay to have doubts sometimes and questions and to wrestle with it? See, we got to have an open door in our home. See, Jesus' door was always open. His disciples come and say, hey, John's back in jail, and he's wondering what's happening. And Jesus says, listen, look at the miracle. See everything that's going on. Go back and tell him. It's okay. See, we have to be open to questions. I want to tell you something. You don't have to have all the answers. I don't have all the answers. All right? I've read the Bible. Can you believe that? I've read the Bible. Yeah, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. I've studied the Bible. I don't have all the answers. I still got a lot of questions. When is Jesus coming back? That's a big question, isn't it? I got four or five plans I could share with you. You know, take your pick. Get a dart. I'll take that one for 300. You know? I don't know. But I know, let me tell you something. I don't know when he's coming back. I do know this thing. Someday, you're going to hear a trumpet, folks. And man, all of a sudden, things are going to change. And it ain't going to eclipse either, okay? You know, that's what I know. So I have questions too. You don't have to have all the answers. Let me tell you what happens. You sit down and say, you know what? I don't know either. But I know how to Google. And you know what? And I got a pastor. You can tell him that. I'll be your pastor, all right? And you can say, I don't know, but what about? How about? And just sit down and have a cup of sweet tea. I don't want coffee. Give me sweet tea. And have that conversation. Because here's what's going to happen. Let me tell you something. I have never had a conversation with somebody that had all sorts of questions. And we come back and we study and we come back and study. I've been there in those kind of things. You know, I've been weeks doing studies with people having questions. And I never had this happen. You know, Gary, you finally asked me, you finally answered my last question, and I want to accept Jesus Christ right now. It's never happened that way. It's not about the question. It's about Jesus. It's about that relationship. All of a sudden, I built a relationship with them. And they trust. I've sat at somebody's house, and they had to call somebody. I did a study with them for 6 weeks, And we did this study, and I just said, we're only going to have the Bible. I'll bring a list. You tell me what you want to talk about. I'll bring a list of verses over, and we'll have this conversation. And we had a conversation about this and about that. And we come to the, isn't that Trinity one that's really fun? You know, 3-in-1. Yeah, man, I got that one all figured out. You do, good luck. You know? And so they're going to do, you know, and so in the midst of this, and so they call somebody else after I left one day. They call somebody else over. He comes over and tries to explain to them the Trinity, and they're going, well, that's not what the Bible says. Well, he pulls out these other books and shows them another books. And I said, no, just the Bible. That's just the Bible. He has this other book and shows them this. Not the Bible. What does the Bible say? And they told him, well, that's not what the Bible says. I went back to, I didn't know that happened. I went back to, they said, you know what? We called so-and-so over, and he came over, and he went through this. But they do use all those other books and not just the Bible. And I had to go, just so you know, it took another 3 weeks before they accepted Jesus Christ. But just building that relationship. Don't have to have all the answers. I don't know everything. Like you asked me to explain the Trinity. egg. That's the best I can do for you. You got the shell, you got the yolk, and you got, you know, the white. I don't know. I can tell you all sorts of things like that. But you don't have to. It's about a relationship, okay? You build that relationship to where they only send, they don't. It kind of leads me to my next point. Because they don't accept it because their answers have been, because their question, they accept it because they've seen it in you. See it? They've seen something in you that says, there's a Jesus. There's something there. Let's go on and see what else would happen in the home that Jesus was at. I put it this way. Jesus wouldn't just share his faith. He would show his faith. He would show his faith. Not just, let me tell you about Jesus. I can tell story after story. Remember when he fed the 5,000 guys plus the women and kids on top of that? He had what? Compassion. He wasn't just people about Jesus. He was showing people about Jesus. He healed the lepers. He healed the blind. The lame could walk. He did all sorts of these miracles to lay the foundation to tell people the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, you can't do a miracle. Anybody here ever done a miracle? I've never done a miracle. I've seen miracles. I've been part of a miracle. But you know what? I can serve. I'll put it this way. How about compassion radar? Anybody got compassion radar? You see somebody in a need and you step into it. Remember the time for me was Lowe's over here. Walking out. I've shared this story with you in the past. I'm walking out of Lowe's and the cashier there is frantic. You could just tell. She's frantic. It's bad. And so I'm talking to her, and Dan and I are there, and we're visiting with her. Come to find out, her husband had just been rushed to the hospital with a heart procedure. He's having a heart attack. And she's at work, and they're trying to find somebody to come and take care of the job so she could get off and run to the hospital to be with her husband. And all I could tell her is I'm praying for her. But you know what I did? Guess where I went the next day? I went back to Lowe's. Did I need to go to Lowe's? No. Did I need to buy anything at Lowe's? No. I went to that lady at Lowe's. Went over and talked with her. Her husband did okay. You know, she still works there. I see her there all the time. I talk. Her husband has since passed away. I've talked to her about all that. See, do we have this compassion radar? I told you, my neighbor was a single mom with raising two little kids. I still mow her yard. She's got a guy living with her now. That's okay. I'm going to mow her yard. He edges mine, so it's a fair trade. With my edger. That's all right. As long as it gets edged, I'll mow. I don't mind mowing. I just, No, I'm going to tell you, our yards are so small now. 5 minutes, I'm done. Do you see somebody in need? Do you have that compassion? Look at what it says. Your attitude must be like mine. Now, this is Jesus. For I, the Messiah, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. You have this compassion radar at school, work, in your neighborhood. Do you have this compassion radar that you're watching? You're looking for someone in need. Look at what it says again. Little children, let us stop just saying we love people. Let us really love them and show it by our own actions. Do we look for opportunities to serve, to be there? When I'm gonna just be. Sometimes, you know, sometimes a service is just being there, just showing up and being there. Do we see those opportunities? And the last point I put down here is this: if Jesus lived in my house, he would be authentic in the way in which he would relate to his neighbors. He's just gonna be real. I always tell Martha and all the people in the church when I came, the one thing I love about this church is I got to be Gary. I didn't have to be some pastor. I'm Pastor Gary. Now I'm Pastor Dr. Well, wait. I am the most reverend Dr. Pastor Gary. Doesn't that sound good? Yeah. No, I get to be Gary. I want to be Gary. I've got flaws. I make mistakes. that we were sitting at a party over there, and they asked me some of the mistakes you've made when you're preaching, and it's like, I don't want to go through that. You know, they threw one in there real quick. One of the young men in the church threw one out there. He's like, thank you for that one. You know, I've done some dumb things. But you know what? This is who I think Jesus would be, just real. This is who I am. You know? I talk about compassion radar. Let me tell you something. We need compassion radar, because I'm going to tell you, those out there have hypocrite radar. Hypocrite radar. What do you think? They're going beep, 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 beep. Liar, liar, beep, 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 beep. Two-faced, huh? Beep, beep. You know, they got hypocrite radar. They're looking. Hey, there you go. I knew he wasn't that good of a Christian. Yeah. You know, I'll make it easy. I tell people right off the bat, I'm not a good Christian, all right? So where do you want to go from there? Tell you one thing. I'm going to love Jesus. And I'm going to love you, and hopefully you're going to find him too. That's one of my prayers, and worship team knows this. We go in the prayer room, we're praying, and one of my prayers when we stand up here before everybody on Sunday morning, that you see Jesus in us and want to join us on this journey. That's one of my prayers. Just, I want to join this journey. Look at what it says. They say they know God, but, I circled that word but their actions show they do not. But, I know God, but. Anybody got a butt? See, you guys are smirking now. I knew I'd get you. See, I know where your mind is. They are hateful people. I'm going to tell you, I am so disgusted with our world right now. I'm so aggravated with America right now. There's hate. I don't care which side of this fence you're on. This world, it's hate. You know? All I want to do is love everybody. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter. I want to be there. I want to be that authentic person that, you know, I don't care. I'll stand with you on this battle here. And I just, you know, how can these people, how can you go to a protest and put a mask on, you know, cover your face? To me, that, you know, I'm going to stand for truth. My truth is very simple. For God so loved the world, everyone in the world. Anybody sang some little Christian songs as kids? Anybody? Red, yellow, black, and white, they are all. Come on, finish that song. All right, you guys got it. That's what we need to be singing today in this hateful world. That everybody's precious. That we're all in this together. And there's just too much hate. I hate. You know, there's people I like in this world, and there's people I don't like. There's people saying stupid stuff. Anybody? I don't care what you think about our president. I'm not going to go there. But sometimes that guy says some of the stupidest stuff. Excuse me. You know? I don't know if he's doing it on purpose or what. But the one thing I want us to know is what he does, I care what I do. I can't change America, but I can change my life and touch those around me. And minister and encourage those around me. I want to be real, but. And so I just want to share that with you. This is a great adventure. All right? Jesus wants to go to your house. As a matter of fact, you met him this morning. He's saying, I'm with you. All right? He wants to go home with you. I want to challenge you. Will your home be a house of prayer? Will your home have an open door for questions? Will your home show the love and grace and mercy of God? Would your home be just real? It's raw. This is just who I am now. That's not an excuse. Let me tell you, that's not an excuse to act like an idiot, okay? I'm being real. That's an idiot, all right? Being real to me is saying, you know what? I messed up, but I'm going to hang with Jesus. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to fight the good fight. I'm going to finish the course. I like this passage here in Ephesians. For by grace you have been saved through faith, This not doing, it is a gift from God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them. You're walking out today. Will you walk with him? Will you? Have you crossed that invisible line? You know, you're going to be like Nicodemus. You know, I have, you know, my great-grandfather was a bird. My grandfather did this, and my mom and dad did this. That's religion. You have a relationship. Have you crossed that line? Will you be his child in your neighborhood? I end with the one thing I'm going to ask you to do. 111. One name. 1 o'clock. 1 minute. 1 week. That's it. My prayer is it becomes a habit. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you that you're here. And that you're not going to stay. You want to travel with us. You want to go with us. You want to be with us. It's been my prayer that everyone who walked through these doors this morning would encounter you. That it'd be an experience, Lord, just as you touched Matthew and you touched Zacchaeus. And that you'd encourage us. And that we could leave this place excited. You know, as our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, are you ready to take Jesus with you? Are you ready to journey with Jesus? Are you willing to pray 1 minute at 1 o'clock for one name? If you are, would you put your hand up so I can pray for you? Thank you. Thank you. I've seen that. Anyone else? I've seen that. Anyone else? I've seen that. Anyone else? Lord, you've seen these that you've laid a burden on their heart for a family, for a friend, for a neighbor, for a co-worker, fellow student. I don't know, Lord, but you know every name that was written down. You know every name that is written upon one of these hearts. And Lord, I ask you to encourage them, to strengthen them, to remind them every day at 1 o'clock to take that 1 minute. Lord, just let a bell ring. Let something click. Let something say, remember this name. And then, Lord, I pray that that individual have a receptive heart. That whether we as individuals will cross their path or somebody else will share the good news of Jesus Christ with them. That they'll receive the message. That they'll hear the word of love. That they'll see the concern and the compassion. And that they'll respond in a positive way to the good news of Jesus Christ. Lord, it might happen this week. And it might take 8 years that we take these names to your presence. Because they mean something to us. And we know that you patiently wait that none should perish in Jesus' name. Amen. It's you, and we always give an invitation. It's your turn to respond to God. And I'm just going to be here to pray with you. I don't know what's going on. I don't know where you're at in the midst of your life. But I'm here to pray with you. I'm here to share with you. And so maybe you need to cross that line. You want to come up and talk to me about that. Maybe you have questions about something. Maybe there's some doubts that you have, like John the Doubter. Or Nicodemus, the guy with the question. I don't know, but this is your time to respond to God. Maybe you just need some strength. Maybe you're the one straddling, and you need some compassion. This is your time. I'm just here to minister. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and you come as the Spirit leads. So would you stand, and as we sing, would you come as the Spirit leads?